AP Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley. A wild ride today on Wall Street. People are cutting back on the amount of money they're spending in stores. Gold is trading at near $1,000 an ounce. Oil prices are more than $110 a barrel, and the dollar's value is dropping. And all that negative news sparked a sell-off early in the day in the markets. They are starting to recover a bit halfway through the trading day. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow, after being down in triple digits, is now down just 74 points. Meanwhile, Treasury Secretary Paulson says there needs to be stronger regulatory oversight of mortgage lenders to avert the kind of credit crisis that's dragging the economy down. President Bush has some stern words about a Democratic version of a new warrantless wiretap rule.
The president says what Democrats are offering is not just wrong, but dangerous.
They introduced a partisan bill that would undermine America's security.
Bush says the measure would impose burdensome new court approval requirements that would slow the hunt for terrorists and would not give telephone companies the lawsuit immunity they need to continue cooperating in that hunt. Plus, Bush says Democrats know the House bill is doomed. Even if it passes the Senate, he'll veto it. So he says the House should bring up a compromise Senate surveillance measure and pass it before the Easter break. Mark Smith at the White House.
The Justice Department's Inspector General says the FBI continues to improperly obtain personal information about Americans for terrorism investigations during 2006. He's reserving judgment on whether actions to correct the problem will work. A day after New York Governor Eliot Spitzer announced his resignation, Lieutenant Governor David Patterson says his transition is proceeding well. He'll take office on Monday. Meanwhile, we're learning more about the call girl linked to Spitzer. Ashley Alexandra Dupree describes herself as an aspiring singer on her MySpace page. Ashley declined comment when asked by the New York Times when she first met Spitzer. This is AP Radio News. A security scare at Heathrow Airport in Britain. A man has been arrested after running onto a runway carrying a backpack. That backpack did not contain any explosives. Your money is getting a new look.
Abe Lincoln is getting a little color in his cheeks. The new $5 bills come out today bearing the traditional image of the 16th president, but with some touches of color added to foil counterfeiters. The government starts shipping the bills to banks today, which then sends them to businesses and eventually into the hands of the public. Fittingly, the new bill will be spent for the first time at the gift shop of President Lincoln's cottage, located on the grounds of the Armed Forces Retirement Home in Northwest Washington. This makeover is similar to the changes in the 10s, 20s, and 50s already in use. Brian Thomas, Washington.
A British man accused of faking his death in an insurance scam is pleading guilty to fraud. John Darwin had been declared dead after disappearing while canoeing in 2002. Pictures in British newspapers later turned up that seemed to show him and his wife together in Panama. I'm Diane Kepley, AP Radio News.
An early morning wreck. We'll have that story coming up next. I'm Doug Eldred with the latest news update from News Talk 1260 and 540. Another check of our Thursday travels.
Good morning, Doug. This traffic update is being brought to us by JCPenney. The sick alert continues. It's a tough situation for those of you on the 605 northbound through Irwindale. Just after Ramona Boulevard, there's an injury crash with five vehicles and an overturned trash truck. The left lane is going to be closed for some time. Northbound, you're already back to the 60. Southbound slows from the 210. South LA on the 105 westbound ramp to the 110 northbound, there's a stalled vehicle in lanes. You're back to Crenshaw. And Los Angeles on the 10 westbound after the 110, there's an accident between a vehicle and a motorcycle being cleared from the middle lanes. That's slowing the ride too. Come to the men's store inside JCPenney and now through Saturday, get 30 to 40% off all concepts by Claiborne Sportswear for men. One more way we help you look your best. JCPenney. I'm Lucy Hill. That's traffic on News Talk 1260 and 540.
A number of people were hurt this morning in an early morning wreck in downtown Los Angeles. According to L.A. City Fire spokesperson Ron Myers, paramedics responded to the corner of 7th Street and Hoover around 5:30 a.m.
When they arrived, they had a two-vehicle traffic collision with 11 patients. This time, all patients appear to have relatively minor injuries. They are being assessed on scene, and patients will be transported to local emergency rooms as necessary.
The cause of that wreck is still under investigation. Both sides had their say during closing arguments yesterday in the wrongful death lawsuit against two Glendale doctors who treated actor John Ritter before his sudden death. Stephen Frazier, who represents one of the doctors in the case, said that Ritter's family just is after the money.
Just to be clear, they could still come to court and ask for nothing. They don't have to ask for millions and millions of dollars. So obviously the case is all about money.
Ritter's family is asking for over $40 million, saying basic medical procedures would have prevented his death. Hundreds of people employed by the San Diego Unified School District are in danger of losing their jobs this fall. School board trustees have agreed to send notices to over 900 full-time staff. San Diego Unified is just one of several hundred school districts to notify employees their jobs may be eliminated in the face of the state budget cuts in education. California Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez will be in Los Angeles today to talk about how the state's budget crisis will affect local schools in L.A. Word came down this week that a number of teachers and other school employees will be getting laid off as part of Sacramento's planned cutbacks. Nunez will discuss his ideas to reduce the number of teachers who will be receiving their pink slips this weekend from school officials. Checking Wall Street numbers, the Dow is down 98 points. NASDAQ is down by 17. 1260 and 540 News brought to you by IHOP. Horton Hears a Who in theaters as of March 14th is in IHOP now with Green Eggs and Ham, Who Cakes and Beazle Nut Splashes now for a limited time. IHOP, come hungry, leave happy. Southland weather, partly cloudy by the afternoon. I'm Doug Eldred. That's the latest news update from News Talk 1260 and 540.
Welcome to the Michael Jackson Show on News Talk 1260 and 540.
Thursday, March 13, the time later than you think. I mean, if you're on the freeways of our world expecting to know when you're likely to arrive at your destination, just add a few minutes, you'll get there maybe. Helping to keep company with you daily for a couple of hours, now until 11, I'm Michael Jackson. And of greater significance, this is KGIL, AM 1260 and AM 540. For whatever you may well wish to discuss, anything, anytime, our phone number, I'm trying to be serious just for a moment, you'll understand why. Our phone number, 888-458-1260. Mark, are you there?
Sure.
I'm not going to say who you are for a moment, but I need your reaction to this story. Ready?
Ready, go.
Dateline, Ness City, Kansas. Authorities are considering charges in the bizarre case of a woman who stayed in her boyfriend's bathroom for 2 years. Spending most of her time on the toilet so that her body was...
I don't know whether to laugh or to be appalled that I'm laughing.
I'm both, actually. Take two.
That's awful.
Her body was stuck to the seat by the time the man finally called police. It appeared
Was she alive?
Yes. Listen, it appeared the 35-year-old Ness City woman's skin had grown around the seat, said Ness County Sheriff Brian Whipple. I'm sorry. The woman initially refused emergency medical service. She probably said she wasn't finished.
This is appalling, Michael.
Anyway, Mr. Sheriff Whipple said, "We pried the toilet seat off with a pry
Sheriff
bar."
Whipple? Mr. Whipple? Didn't he have the Charmin? Couldn't you just use the Charmin?
You beat me to it. Well, anyway, this is one station that, out of all the others who pick up on the story, we're the ones most likely to get to the bottom of it.
I don't want to comment.
I don't want to, too, and I can feel it bursting to come out of me. So I shan't let it. I think I shall instead add respectability by mentioning your name. Oh, there's so much more to this story.
I think I've given up on respectability from now forward. I don't know.
In a dead serious world, it's good to be, I suppose. Mark Levine, is your website radioinsidescoop.com?
It is.
So how come I can remember that, but I can't remember our own station's website?
I can't explain your deficiencies, Michael.
Nor can I. Anyway, you're the host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop. There is so much to discuss this morning. Forget her, just for a moment. I'm glad you're on the line. Geraldine...
I don't know that I can forget her. Now I have this image in my mind, thank you very much.
Yes. Oh, well...
Moving on.
Moving on. Just like that hooker, she's flush. I don't know what I mean by that either. Mark Levine, are you there?
I am here. Appalled, but still here.
Geraldine Ferraro, she's not a racist.
No, she's not a racist. Oh, poor Geraldine.
You're being serious now.
Well, yeah, no, she's not a racist. Look,
This woman is very angry. This former vice presidential candidate is hardly apologizing.
I have to be very careful about this, like everything else. Look, I think many times they call a gaffe in politics when you say something that has a ring of truth, but that no one can possibly say. Look, Barack Obama has achieved his standing by virtue of many, many things, not least of which is the power of his oratory.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think that's probably most important.
Number one.
But there is no question that there is interest and support in his campaign, I think, based in part on his race. And I think that's what she was getting at. And I think that's something that no one can ever talk about. And that's why she had to go.
She's very angry. She feels, I believe, or I understand, that she thinks she was set up. How, I'm not sure. In other words, that they have used the information, warped the information, and promoted the information.
Now, this is news to me, Michael. If she's saying that it didn't come from her lips...
No, she's not saying that.
Okay, all right. I mean, she's not saying some Clinton campaign manager said, hey, say this. No, okay.
You couldn't do that to her anyway. And she's been known to be racially sensitive and, I think, understanding all her career. I feel pity for her. I just wish she'd get off the arrogance and just say, hey, I'm sorry, it was a misunderstanding. Now let's move on.
Yeah, I think the hard part is that no one, like I said, wants to admit this. And I think one of the reasons is because, let's face it, in just about every element of our society, it certainly pays to be white. There's a million advantages of white privilege. You can see it in virtually every job opportunity that anyone has. And so,
hey, would Clinton be running for president if Mr. Clinton hadn't been president before?
No. That's another thing that you're not allowed to say. But it's exactly the same.
Oh, darn, I'm in trouble again.
No, but it's exactly the same thing. I mean, it's another thing that Clinton supporters don't want to talk about. Listen, the reason he won senator from New York was not due to her, 35 years of experience registering people down in South Texas. She got it because of her husband. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that Hillary Clinton is brilliant and even smarter than her husband and is very good on policy and has been a good senator and all that stuff. But, yes, of course she's there because of her husband. And, yes, of course, one of the reasons, one, not exclusively, but one of the reasons for Barack Obama's prominence is that he's African-American. And the very fact that I expressed those two things right here on air with you means I think that I can't hold elected office. So why did you do that to me?
I'm still worried about this poor woman and Sheriff Whipple. And then there's the former, there is so much. We are hardly midway through the week of daylight savings time, and the number of major big-time news-making issues seems to be growing by the moment. The former attorney general who became the governor, the pioneering, crusading governor who blew it all.
It's so, so sad.
Hoisted on his own petard.
It's so, so
or pet
sad.
Something.
And I feel sorry, not really for Elliot Spitzer, who, definitely was hoist on his own petard, but for all the believers, people like me. I feel sorry for myself. I mean, we believed in Elliot Spitzer. I believed in Elliot Spitzer. New Yorkers believed in him. He was an amazing leader. I mean, his policies, his politics, he could take on the most powerful interests in America and literally take them down. And then he threw it all away. It's painful. It's painful.
I've got a couple of shrinks coming in this morning, and I'm dying to know, what was it, a death wish? I mean, why do they do it? Do you have to travel?
Why did Bill Clinton do what he did with Monica Lewinsky?
Because it was available.
I think there comes a point, perhaps, when you're doing very well, you're very successful, you have a lot of power, and you want some other power, I guess, in your life, or maybe non-power. I mean, I don't know the details of his sexual fetishes. I'm not sure I want to, but I think that it sort of goes with evolutionary biology, right? The same kind of men who succeed through charisma and so forth and being great politicians are usually the ones who want to bed the most women.
But to feel you need to pay for it in order to get it?
Yeah, I don't think he needed to pay for it. I would think that...
Oh, come now. You know he did.
Oh, no, I don't.
No, from these people.
Well, for those people, but why? I don't get it. I mean, you know, like Bill Clinton, he's a very powerful man. He could have easily found some 22-year-old intern who would have been very, very happy to give it to him for free. So I don't
Didn't he?
I don't know. Did he have sex outside of marriage that's outside of prostitutes? I don't know.
I don't know. I wonder what, though. You're not the person to ask us.
Well, go ahead. Ask me anyway.
What was the need? Should it be legal?
Oh, I think it should be legal.
Now, you're speaking now as a lawyer.
I do. I or at least decriminalized. Look,
but it's not a victimless crime.
Well, it depends, I think. I think in Elliot Spitzer's case, it was a victimless crime. I do not think that woman was a victim at however much many thousands of dollars he paid for her. Although I just read in the Washington Post this morning that she, like most prostitutes, came from a sexually abusive household. It's a very, very hard thing to know. I think at the end of the day, it's a very sordid affair, and yet it's probably best if it's regulated and legalized, then pushed underground. I look at Amsterdam, for example.
Yeah.
You have the prostitutes in the windows. But what they also do is they have mandatory health care from the government. They check them. Unsafe sex is a very strong penalized criminal act, which protects the prostitutes and protects the Johns, frankly, as well. And at the same time, by criminalizing the really unsafe practices, they regulate and permit something that, let's face it, is the oldest profession in the world.
Okay, he's left office. Will that ease up the likelihood of a stern penalty? Would he be tried under the Mann Act, what everybody's reading up on now?
Do you know what the Mann Act is?
Go on.
Yeah, no, the Mann Act comes from 1910, and it's taking a woman across state lines, like so much contraband, for illicit sexual purposes. I mean, the Mann Act, I would think, could prohibit anyone from traveling with their mistress, right?
Right.
I mean, you go from one state line to another with a woman who's not your wife and pay for her dinner, and I don't know, that could be a violation of the Mann Act. This is an ancient...
It's not going to be used.
Well, no, it may well be used. That's the scary
thing. But he could get 20 years for that.
It shows...
At $1,000 an hour, that's a lot of money.
It shows the ridiculousness of this archaic statute that's being foisted upon the governor. And it also, everyone should be 100% clear that they only went after him because he was the governor.
So you're saying it was politically motivated?
Of course. And that makes
Dershowitz says that, too. You know that, Professor Alan Dershowitz, who may well be calling through this morning to explain what he means by that.
Oh, it has to be politically motivated. I mean, we don't know the name of clients 1 through 8, do we?
No.
Of course we don't. And not only that, but it's illegal to divulge grand jury information. That is a felony. Whoever told the New York Times about this has committed a felony, which I would argue is far more severe than a guy who sees a prostitute. Of course it was politically motivated. But that may be fair. And that's the other question. You know, when they went to after Marion Barry for his drug use.
Yes, in Washington.
That was because he was mayor, not because he was using drugs. I think that people feel, many prosecutors feel, that politicians can be held to a higher standard. And that may even be fair. But let's not doubt that the only reason why the Emperor's Club no longer exists is because of their most famous client. They would not be going after the Emperor's Club if it were not for Elliot Spitzer.
It'll change its name. It will arise again and very soon.
When
you look at Mrs. Spitzer, what do you think?
Oh, just pity and pain, and why the heck does he have to trot her out there? It seems like they all do, right? Craig brought his wife out. David Bitter brought his wife out. It obviously, we need to remind everyone that Senator David Bitter of Louisiana, who's still in office,
Republican,
Republican, did exactly the same thing that Elliot Spitzer did. In fact, he probably didn't even pay as much for it as Elliot Spitzer did.
Well,
I want everyone to reflect on the irony that apparently the sexual morality of Manhattan is considered to be more pure and higher than in the deep south of Louisiana.
Amen,
brother.
Reflect
upon that.
Hey, stay with me for a couple more minutes. Got the time? Let's take some calls. Mark Levine is with us from Washington, D.C. Our phone number, 1-888-458-1260. 1-888-458-1260. I hope that woman is all right now. The one who is stuck on the toilet seat. We aren't on, are we? Oh, good.
You're listening to Michael Jackson on News Talk 1260 and 540. To speak with Michael, call 888-458-1260. That's 888-458-1260.
The man behind RadioInsideScoop.com, on the line from Washington, D.C., still Mark Levine. Mark, Admiral Fallon, he's been effectively ousted. Yeah, he retired.
Too bad. He was one of the good guys, one of the few good guys. I mean, he was someone who could go into the places of dictators and strange warlords and actually come out and get agreements from them. He was an amazing man. Of course they had to fire him.
They being the Bush administration, they right. being specifically the president, wanted him gone, and he was successful. You make their lives so miserable, they have to retire.
Well, I highly recommend the Esquire article for all listeners to read.
That's the one that basically got him in trouble.
Yes, it is, but it's still a very good article and is actually very praiseworthy of him, which may be another reason why he had to go.
It highlighted his disagreements with the administration over both Iraq and Iran. With Fallon gone, does that bring us a step closer to war with Iran?
I think it brings us a step closer to let's just say, angrier words and possibly a military strike. I don't think this administration, and oh, I sure hope I'm right about this, I don't think that they're stupid enough to try to do something like a full-scale invasion of Iran. We simply don't have the troops, and we certainly don't have the political will, and we're still bogged down in Iraq. But we might do a military strike against Iran. I wouldn't rule that out with this president, not at all.
But this Admiral Fallon, I mean, he was abruptly ousted. I'm glad you mentioned Esquire. The magazine article should be read. Do you know which month edition?
I know that if you go to EsquireMag.com, it's right there on the front page because I read it just a few days ago.
He ran our central command. He could make it easier for the Bush administration to maintain troop levels in Iraq as he has them now because he was in favor of bringing the total down.
This is a man in his 60s who's been in the military since he was 18. And what the article goes and explains is how he would, interestingly, through sort of a soft voice, not by pounding on the table and demanding things, but he would explain in a sort of a firm way why it is that people who might be our enemies should want to cooperate with us. And it was an amazing example, I think, of how diplomacy can work. Not stupid diplomacy, not we'll give you everything you want, but a very firm diplomacy backed up, yes, by sort of implicit rather than explicit threats. Frankly, he's the kind of man I'd love to see as the
chairman of
secretary or something like that under maybe Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton.
You lowered your voice when you said Hillary Clinton. Does that mean that you're pro Barack?
Or Barack Obama? I think partly because at this point, I think it's his race to lose.
Oh, yeah, and that can happen. Or he can win. It's the Democrats' race to lose, and that can happen.
That's the big fear. I mean, I don't see at this point how we avoid an extremely contested convention. And that's going to be ugly, and I don't want it to be ugly, because the irony of all of this is that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton agree on about 95% of everything.
Right, which is more than husbands and wives, frequently. So I'm told.
Well, it's more than Kerry and Edwards agreed in 2004. And so here, the only reason why this is becoming acrimonious is because they're so close. And that's the worst reason in the world. If this were about the heart and soul of the Democratic Party, okay, then, you know, yell at each other a bit. But this isn't. This is simply about what horse we want to send into the race carrying the exact same agenda. And I'm really, really nervous for the Democratic Party because I will happily support either one of them in the fall. And I'm nervous that there are Obama supporters that wouldn't support Hillary Clinton and Clinton supporters that wouldn't support Barack Obama. And I can't think of anything more wrong than that.
I want to go back to Admiral Fallon for a moment. I sure. may be inaccurate here, but I don't remember a situation like this since going back to President Harry Truman firing General Douglas MacArthur at the height of the Korean War.
Well, I could think of another example, which would be Eric Shinseki.
The guy who told us we would need to double the forces, the guy who told us the truth.
That's correct. And he was fired.
They couldn't handle the truth.
Well, they really don't want the truth. I mean, this is an administration that, as we know from the Downing Street memo, fixes facts around the policy. They take the policy first, they want war with Iran, and then they make up facts to go around it. And what made Fallon's position so difficult is that he was General Petraeus' boss. He was the guy in the chain of command between George Bush and General Petraeus. But there's a reason why the American public knows Petraeus's name, and they don't know Fallon's name until this week. And that's because Petraeus was trotted out as, you know, Bush's guy. He was the surge general. And his boss didn't think the surge was such a good idea. His boss thought that, hey, if we tell Iraq that we're going to be withdrawing troops, maybe they'll get their political act together. In other words, Fallon's views were not so different from the Democrats' views, and that's why he had to go.
By the way, we mentioned Esquire. If you go back months, several months, I'm not quite sure how many, he spoke with the Financial Times, and he claimed that the administration's bellicose comments on Iran were unhelpful. That was sort of hidden in a story. Let's take a couple of calls to you. Harold in Los Angeles, you're on with Mark Levine in Washington, D.C. I'm Michael.
Yes, Michael. Just quickly, I've been listening to you. You certainly do a good job. I'm on the freeway, so I really want to get this out of the way.
You have more time than you think.
Oh, okay. I'm on the way to have my car fixed, and it's a small dent, and I don't want it to be any worse than it could be. Anyway, all right, so getting back to, I noticed Israel hasn't been mentioned between Republicans, Democrats, so whether they're pro or against what they would do. For some reason, I haven't heard anything.
Can you imagine in our country, and I don't mean just because of Jews, can you imagine in our country coming out against Israel? Will you two stop fighting?
I'm sorry?
Mark, what comment would you make to Harold?
Well, it wouldn't happen. I mean, there's very strong bipartisan support for Israel. The differences among the candidates are very slight among the edges. Both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have come out as strong supporters of Israel, as have John McCain, which is probably why you haven't seen it that much as a campaign issue. I can tell you that there are a number of emails that are being sent around by the Republican Party. They've been traced back to the Republican Party, although most Republicans won't admit it, that are saying pretty nasty things about Obama and Israel. But it doesn't pan out. I mean, Barack Obama has made speeches and has been very strong about Israeli security. I actually think that our policy is pretty consistent, which is that all parties now, Republicans and Democrats, do support a two-state solution, mm-hmm. Do support a Palestinian state, but only if the Palestinians stop trying to, you know, kill the Israelis, and particularly those missiles coming from Gaza are condemned by everyone. So I don't think the policies are that different. The idea is if the Palestinians will stop sending missiles over the border, they can have a state. But if they don't, they can't.
Harold.
And it's not that complicated.
Harold, thank you for your call. Mark, would you take just a couple more calls?
Absolutely.
Mark Levine from Washington, D.C. I'm Michael Jackson from KGIL. Our phone number, 1-888-458-1260.
Secretary Tony Fratto says the Bush administration expected this quarter would be a difficult and challenging period for the U.S. economy. The Commerce Department reports retail sales dropped more than 0.5% in February, much worse than what the experts were predicting. It's the largest drop in 6 months, and it comes a few months after retailers suffered through a dismal holiday shopping season. Also, the AP's John Belmont reports energy prices keep going up.
Gas and oil prices hit new highs as the dollar weakened. Crude oil traded up near $111 a barrel. And AAA says gasoline prices surged 2 cents a gallon overnight, reaching a record national average of almost $3.27.
At the White House, Tony Fratto said the message to consumers is they should have confidence in the long-term future of the economy because the benefits of tax relief and the economic stimulus package are coming online. President Bush will be traveling to New York tomorrow to give a speech on the U.S. economy. AP Update, I'm Ed Donahue.
ATM murderer. Good morning. I'm Dick Eldred with the latest news update from News Talk 1260 and 540. That story's next. Let's check Southland traffic.
This traffic update is being brought to you by Quarter Zone 10 in Irwindale. The SIG alert continues. This is on the 605 northbound after Ramona. It's an injury accident with five vehicles and an overturned trash truck. They're blocking the left lane still. Now, northbound is backed up from the 60. Southbound slows from the 210. Beverly Hills, Benedict Canyon at sunset is closed because of an injury crash. You're backed up to Mulholland. And in Sun Valley, on the 5 southbound before Sunland, there's a crash with two vehicles. Palmdale, on the 14 southbound at Avenue S, there's a disabled vehicle stuck in the number 2 lane. Choose Quarter Zone 10 for fast, long-lasting relief from itchy skin discomforts. It's enriched with aloe for soothing relief, so ditch the itch and feel the heal with Quarter Zone 10 Anti-Itch Cream. I'm Lucy Hill. That's traffic on News Talk 1260 and 540.
The Los Angeles Police Department is looking for the suspect who shot a U.S. custom employee to death at a Ladera Heights ATM on Sunday night. The suspect fired several shots, fatally wounding the victim. Police are asking anyone who may have seen what happened to come forward. Carson residents are upset about a local hotel that's been housing a number of registered sex offenders. Residents say at least 30 such men are living at the Carson Plaza Hotel, and they want them out of their community. The Metropolitan Transit System says that the number of crimes committed on San Diego trolleys was up slightly last year. The MTS reports over 170 serious crimes, including robberies, assaults, and thefts in 2007. Looking at Wall Street, the Dow is down 58 points. NASDAQ is down by 7. We're brought to you by Hotels.com. Go to Hotels.com to get hotel reviews from people just like you. Go online or call 1-800-444-6835. Welcome to Hotels.com. Southland weather, partly cloudy Thursday afternoon. We're looking at mid-60s to 70s. I'm Doug Eldred. That's the latest news update from News Talk 1260 and 540.
Welcome back to the Michael Jackson Show on News Talk 1260 and 540.
Maybe once upon a time, not that many years ago, if we wanted to be informed, we would read at least a morning newspaper, and perhaps for the real news junkie or sports fan, we'd pick up the afternoon broadsheet. In our case, here in Los Angeles, the Herald Examiner. I can remember well the many calls bemoaning the demise of the Herald, which was just a typical Hearst paper. I was told over and over that it was a disaster for the press to see it go, to which I would respond, if all of you who are so saddened to see the presses stop had read the darn thing daily, it would still be printing and trying to compete here in L.A. with the Times. Times and tastes have changed, and fewer people read a newspaper at all. On the line right now, still with us, I am delighted to say, the man behind RadioInsideScoop.com, host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop, Mark Levine, to speak with him and me. I am our phone number, 1-888-458-1260. How many papers do you read a day?
Well, I always read the Washington Post every day. That befits a Washingtonian. And then I'm usually online checking out the New York Times, and I like a lot of magazines with the New Republic. I try to read also the congressional broadsheets, such as Roll Call, that explain a lot of the insider stuff that you can't get elsewhere. And then I make phone calls on the Hill to talk to the people I know there to get the inside scoop.
I bet you can't reach the governor of Alabama.
No, I can't. The governor of Alabama is in prison for what looks like it could be 7 or 8 years for committing the crime of being a Democrat in Alabama.
Now, you think it's that blatant?
Actually, I think it's more blatant. He really, the only thing he did wrong was he became a Democratic governor in a state that won't allow Democrats to run. In fact, what's interesting is that Alabama responded by having a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature, so now Karl Rove has sent U.S. attorneys to, and this is bizarre, to go on the floor of the Alabama legislature and serve subpoenas on 30 local House representatives. And the idea, I think, is that if he can get rid of all of them, then they can have a majority in the state house as well.
These are rotten people, aren't they?
Absolutely blatant.
Did you know Karl Rove? I never interviewed him.
I've ever spoken to the person that George Bush affectionately calls Turd Blossom. I don't know. It might stink to do that, but... No, he hides. Generally, Karl Rove is very good at trying to keep his fingerprints off of things. But in Alabama, he literally was using his own staff to go in there, people that had worked for him, and using the U.S. attorneys who had contributed. You had, for example, the campaign manager for Siegelman's rival, the current governor of Alabama, who took over after Siegelman was put in prison.
Is he Jewish?
No, actually, he's not. He's Catholic. I think his wife is Jewish. It's not a Jewish thing. He just happens to be a liberal in Alabama, and that's really not allowed. And the amazing thing about the story is it's wrong on so many accounts. For example, they chose the hanging judge for him, who has connections with his Republican opponent. The U.S. attorney that prosecuted him, her husband, was the campaign manager for the current governor.
Yeah.
Then there's the 6,000 vote switch in the county that happened to just make the difference due to a computer malfunction that put that Republican governor in place. Then there's the fact that the jury wasn't told that the state star witness had been coached 80 times before he got the story that they wanted him to say, the one that got Siegelman in prison. You can't blame the jury. They didn't know the facts. The defense attorneys didn't know the facts, and that is against constitutional law. You're not allowed to hide what's called exculpatory information that helps a criminal defendant say that he's not guilty. All of these are major, major felonies, and if we could ever get a Democrat in the White House, I think we could put about, 50 or 100 Alabama Republicans in jail. As it is, the only innocent guy is the guy in jail.
You know, we used to have definite news deadlines, cycles, during which we could comfortably see and hear all the news. Now it happens 24/7. It happens all the while. Are we better informed than once we were?
To some extent we are. For example, I just went on the internet and found out that you indeed are correct about Sheriff Whipple and the woman in the bathroom in Kansas. So I had to admit, I was a little dubious of your story, but I apologize for in any way doubting you. The story is 100% true. But we didn't have that access before. I mean, I couldn't just run and find out if false stories were true the way I can now. And the Kansas story is...
You mean while you and I were speaking, you had the temerity to go online and check up on me?
I did it in the break, actually.
I spent the time getting a cup of tea. Hey, who's going to win?
Going to win what? The election?
Well, there's so many places I could fill in. The fact that the Democrats are making a return trip to Iowa, right?
Oh, yes, they are. That's the other thing. One thing I hope, at the very least, we learn from the crazy election of 2008.
That it's complicated.
Is how ridiculous the process is for choosing the nominee. It needs to be streamlined. It's crazy. People thought that Iowa caucuses were the first in the nation, that January 3rd, they were the first state to decide. How wrong. You see, all that happened on January 3rd were the precinct caucuses. And you see, the delegates are chosen there. They get to go this weekend to the county caucuses. But they still don't have the national delegates yet, because the county caucus winners will go to the congressional district caucuses of Iowa, and then they will go to the state convention in June, and only then will the national delegates be chosen.
Wow.
It's like the Communist Party, I think. Sorry, it's my own party, but it's crazy, all these details and regulations, and they're truly arcane. Hillary Clinton gets one more delegate than John Edwards, even though she got third to his second, because she happened to do better in the Western Congressional District, the 5th Congressional District, that awards more delegates. It's extremely complex. At the end of the day, I was reading up on this, there's, of course, the superdelegates, in addition to the 45 pledged delegates, and they are 6 members of the Democratic National Committee, 1 governor, 3 representatives, 1 senator, and 1 more. And I couldn't figure out where that one more came from.
where does it come from?
They just pick one more at the state convention. I don't know. Maybe they just get the janitor and say, hey, will you be our delegate? It's the craziest process imaginable.
But the national delegates are elected at the congressional district and state conventions.
That's
and
correct.
There are other steps in the process, at least one more step. Why is this the first election of which we are speaking in great depth? On that topic, why is it?
Because it's close.
Oh,
if it weren't close, it wouldn't matter. Nobody cares. You know, if for example, in the Republican race, no one cares or focuses on the machinations of how Republican delegates are chosen. One of the reasons for that is that the Republicans often have winner-take-all states, whereas Democrats are proportional. So
I prefer the proportional.
He could win a plurality. He could win 37% of the votes, and he gets all the delegates of a state, which is one reason why he could wrap it up very quickly.
So it's simple, but not so fair.
It's not Democratic at all. That's one of the reasons why many Republicans were carping about their nominee.
Who is not the choice of many in the Republican Party.
He's not the choice of the majority of the Republican Party. If you look at it, until very recently, when everyone had dropped out, he was winning 36-37%. He rarely cracked 40 and virtually never cracked 50%. But Mike Huckabee had the social conservatives, and Mitt Romney had the business conservatives, and between them, they had more than 50% of the vote, but neither of them could break McCain's 37-40%.
We're speaking with attorney and broadcaster Mark Levine. Is Obama succeeding in staying sort of above the fray?
I think he's trying very hard to do that. I don't think he's responding very harshly to... I think Clinton has been more harsh than Obama.
I think she's had to be.
Well, perhaps, but one of the things that campaigns, I think, learn and should learn is that the candidate, him or herself, should stay pure while they have surrogates to do all the nasty stuff. And I think Obama has kept that distinction better than Hillary Clinton has. And so, I think that will hurt her. I really do. I think
wait a minute. Now. My name is Hillary. it isn't. I'm role-playing. My name is Hillary. Thank you. I got tougher, and I won Ohio and Texas.
Well, that's true. I don't mind her ad so much. I mean, I think the 3 a.m. ad was a very strong ad, and it's a subtle distinction, okay? It's perfectly fair and right for Hillary Clinton to say, I would be a better commander-in-chief than Barack Obama. I'm more ready on day one. Whereas I think, for example, she crossed the line is where she suggested that John McCain might be a better commander-in-chief than Barack Obama. That's not allowed. You can't go that far. You can never suggest that the nominee of the other party might be better than your co-party nominee.
Certainly if you intend to take him as a running mate.
Exactly, which made it very inconsistent. I think she's had problems with her campaign being riven. It's interesting. I think she likes to get people from all different perspectives. She's not a very hierarchical person. She wants to hear from everyone and then make a decision. But it's hard, I think, for her to run and campaign and do the speeches and not be tired and talk to voters and at the same time make decisions among people in her campaign that, frankly, do not like each other and fight with each other a lot.
Mark, there's a name I'm trying to remember. Was president of the United States, is married to the leading or one of the leading Democratic candidates, Bill...
William Jefferson.
William Jefferson. Clinton.
Yes, that was him, yeah.
Hey, what's he doing at Dick Cheney? Where is he?
Oh, he's deep underground in a bunker.
No, that's Cheney. Where is Clinton?
He's in a different bunker. Last we saw him, he was out in Wyoming.
They would never co-bunk. have they chilled Bill?
His gun and shoot him in the face.
No, have they chilled Bill?
They have. And the sad thing is that Bill Clinton is such an asset to the party. The thing, again, I think Hillary Clinton needed to learn was how to properly use Bill Clinton. He, I think, had he only spoken positively about Hillary Clinton, would have, increased numbers, would have helped her campaign, would have drawn millions of people around, and then you send your surrogates to say the nasty things. But you can't use your husband, ex-president, to say some of the things that he said. It's just not, they didn't understand the good cop, bad cop rule. You can't make Bill Clinton the bad cop, and I really think that's what they did, and it harmed her. And it's not even, I think it wasn't so much Hillary's choice. I think Bill Clinton is somewhat irrepressible and hard to control.
Yeah. Then, speaking about different stages of voting, should there be another election in Michigan and Florida?
I think so.
We both think so, but will there be?
Well, there's a standoff, right?
Yeah.
The party doesn't want to pay for it, and you can't blame the National Party for saying we need to take our money and use it for the national election. Every other state had a primary or caucus, and the state paid for it. Why are you making us, the party, pay for it? And the states say, we did it. We did it. It was against your Democratic rules. We don't care about your Democratic rules. We're doing it our way, and we're not going to pay for it again. And it's very interesting, the differences between Florida and Michigan. In Florida, you have a Republican-controlled everything, Republican governor, Republican legislature, the same people who messed up 2000 and got things worse. They are determined to make the Democratic Party look bad. That's why they scheduled this primary, after all, just a few days before Super Tuesday. It was on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Super Tuesday, which would have been perfectly legal, was on the following Tuesday. But they wanted to stick their finger in the Democrats' eye. And now, Chris, the governor of Florida, refuses to pay for the primary. So they're talking about this compromise, perhaps, of a mail-in primary, where people, which may be okay, where people send it in, but then there's the question of whether seniors will be able to you know, get it all done. Here's the problem. Unless Obama and Clinton jointly agree that a process is fair and get the money for it, it's not going to happen. And it's I just don't see how all those three things can happen at once.
So many issues. We spoke of the disappearing Bill Clinton. What about the disappearing former governor of Florida?
Jeb Bush?
Yeah, where is he? What's he doing?
He's probably making bed with some corporate interests and making millions of dollars so that he can run for president himself someday.
But he was the first choice of the family, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And he was because George Bush was the mess up. I mean, he was the guy that, you know, physically attacked his father after getting drunk one night. He's the guy.
No, I'd never heard that. He did physically attack his father?
Absolutely.
I hope his father laid him flat.
I don't know who won the fight, but I do recall...
The country didn't.
That's for sure. No, he took his brother, who was underage at the time, out drinking. Oh, excuse me. No, he's... Yeah, no, I think that's right. Yes, he took his brother, who was underage at the time, out drinking, and he came home, and when he came home, he knocked over a bunch of trash cans driving home, and his father came out and angrily said, you know, why are you doing this? And Bush, George Jr., laid a punch on his father. That's, you know, there's so many things that are not talked about. It's interesting. It's as if Elliot Spitzer was the first high official to have been charged with a crime. It's not just drunk driving. George Bush, of course, was convicted of three crimes that we know of. One is drunk driving. One is assault in his fraternity days. And one is theft. He stole a wreath. It was a prank, they said. And then, of course, there's...
He stole a what?
A Christmas wreath.
Oh, that's understandable.
I guess. But then the other thing is...
Because it's already March. Go on.
But it's widely believed that he was convicted of cocaine possession and that, in fact, he got it expunged from the record. And, of course, on that, George Bush has never denied it. It's very, very interesting. When George Bush was asked back in 2000 about the cocaine charge, he said he hasn't done any cocaine since he was 40.
Since he was 40.
But was 40, right. That's, yeah. I think, when youth is over, when you're 40. But he never discussed whether or not he had been convicted of cocaine possession. And it's just interesting to me, for all this talk of, you know, Elliot Spitzer and so forth, I actually think that of the two crimes, the cocaine charge, I would think, is more severe than hiring a prostitute. But, of course, I also think that going to war based on lies and torturing people and things like that is more severe than
prostitution. That's pretty profound. Pretty profound. By the way, does the time between now and the conventions make the likelihood of the Republicans pulling off a miracle, retaining the White House, more possible?
Well, I'm nervous, and I think a lot of Democrats are nervous, and I know Howard Dean is nervous about the infighting among the Democrats. At the end of the day, the superdelegates will decide this race. There's absolutely no way that either Obama or Clinton can do it on pledged delegates alone. So what's interesting is all these elections, whether it's Pennsylvania or Michigan and Florida redone or wherever else they go, West Virginia, South Dakota, they're all sideshows because the difference is very small in the amount of delegates they can win because of the proportional system. All of it is an effort to convince the superdelegates to vote their way.
The man with us is Mark Levine. We've got just a couple of minutes left for the hour, and I must use them with you. He's the man who's host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop, where he serves up all the news the government doesn't want you to know, Republican and Democrat. He's a Democrat. I'm Michael Jackson. So am I. This is News Talk 1260 and AM 540, but don't tell people that, you know, unless you really want to. Our phone number, 1-888-458-1260. 888-458-1260. Have you done something really good for yourself? Once in a while, you've got to be willing to do something special for you, for the family. What about a great night's sleep in a really cozy bed, a duck's bed? you can sleep well every night. I know that because I have one, and we do. The Duck's Bed lives up to its reputation of being the best way to get a good night's sleep. Duck's Beds, D-U-X. They are beyond comfortable. Each Duck's Bed, handcrafted in Sweden, made of the finest natural materials. And sleeping on one is really the ultimate experience of pure indulgence. Do you know that in Sweden, Duck's Beds are so prized among families that they frequently will them from one generation to the next? Ducks. Experience the Duck's Bed for yourself by visiting your Duxiana store today. They're available exclusively at Duxiana stores in West Hollywood, Newport Beach, Redondo Beach, Westlake Village, and Encino, or visit ducks.com, D-U-X.com, or call 800-595-2000, 800-595-2000, Ducks.
Here once again is Michael Jackson. Join the conversation. Call 888-458-1260. 888-458-1260.
Darn how the time flies. Particularly when you're in conversation with a man, a young man like Mark Levine in Washington, D.C. I want to go back to our first topic in our final couple of minutes, okay? Was that our first topic?
I think it was, but let's go to our second topic.
Let's go from top to bottom. Yes. Okay, Senator Patrick Moynihan, and I mentioned this a couple of days ago when I came across it, said deviancy has been defined downwards. Is this the legacy of the Monica Lewinsky scandal? Does that rub off at all on the Attorney General?
You know, I think it hasn't changed. I just think we know about it more.
By the way, I've just thought of something. Forgive my interjecting. Soliciting a prostitute is a crime.
Yes, it is.
Clinton didn't commit a crime.
No, that's true. That is certainly true. Of course, David Vitter did, as did Larry Craig.
The Louisiana Republican.
Yes, the Louisiana Republican who also hired a call girl, frankly, did almost exactly what Elliot Spitzer did. And no Republicans are calling for him to resign from the Senate.
Because he fessed up. He said, I committed a serious sin.
Well, Spitzer fessed up.
Yeah, but didn't bring God into it at all.
Ah, you have to bring God into it. That's the trick.
Find out what Jesus would do. Republicans were ready to impeach Spitzer.
They were ready to impeach him, to remove him from office for seeing a prostitute. But no Republicans call for David Vitter's resignation.
What did he do?
He hired a prostitute. He did exactly what Elliot Spitzer did. He was on the phone list of the D.C. Madam.
That's right.
A very long list of their customers. And he apparently was on their list and had been using prostitutes for a number of years. And he apologized. Wasn't that nice?
Well, he sinned. He cried also.
He also committed a crime.
Oh.
But I think they want that Louisiana, the Republicans want a Republican in the Louisiana Senate seat. Far more than they wanted.
Remember, when you're speaking of Republicans, you're talking about a party that had Henry Kissinger as their sex symbol?
I don't know about that as a sex symbol. But let's just say they have compromised morality.
They've been in office long enough, and there's still the chance they'll get back in again. Less than a minute left. Helen.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
How's the both of you?
Good morning.
I just want to say that I'm a 71-year-old black woman, and I'm supporting Hillary.
Why?
Well, I'm a woman before I'm black. And also, I'm having a problem voting for Obama if he is nominated in November. I don't like his and his supporters' arrogance and cockiness. I've heard them say several times, even Obama and his wife, that if Hillary is nominated, they won't support her.
Helen, I've got to the end of the hour. One we hadn't planned or predicted. Mark Levine, I'm so honored to have you join us from time to time.